Welcome to another edition of the Gaming Gang Extra, Origins 2012 Raw. This time around, Elliot and I are joined by Brian Steele of Cool Mini or Not, as we talk about all their great releases currently available, as well as what's on the horizon from the company. I'm your host, Jeff McAleer. Once again, we bring another interview from the exhibitor's floor at this year's Origins Game Fair. We always like to call these extras raw, simply because the sound quality may not be up to our usual standards, and we present the pieces with minimal editing. Folks who follow the show and site regularly know I'm a huge fan of miniatures. That's why I knew we just had to make sure we had a chance to swing on over and get an interview with Cool Mini or Not. Not only do they distribute a lot of great lines, but they also produce a good number of games and figures themselves. So give a listen as we talk with Brian Steele about Zombicide, Sedition Wars, Dark Age, Wrath of Kings, and so much more. Brian Steele from Cool Mini or Not has joined us, and I wanted to talk with Brian because I love the website. I really do. And I think a lot of people are probably like me. They don't know exactly what you guys produce, what you guys distribute. There's a lot of stuff out there. There's a lot of great figures that you guys do. And you also have some lines of games that I really want to talk about as well. So first off, Brian, how you doing?
I'm actually having a really good show. Origins is a little bit of a lower key show for us, and we're ramping up for Gen Con.
Yep.
We just came off of Adepticon, where we had our Crystal Brush painting competition, where I personally had to give away $13,000 of prizes.
I saw them.
Amazing!
Sweet.
Seeing them in person, coming out of their near bulletproof cases, right. And so these guys flew in from Spain, from France. The third place winner came in from Australia. We flew him in from Australia. He won a qualifier in Australia. We flew him in, and he came away with $1,000 from third place. So I was just talking to Sebastian, and I'm like, so good trip, huh? And he's like, oh, I got to see America, and this is profit. All he had to pay for was a hotel room.
Yeah.
And food.
Some of the people who enter their minis in the various different competitions, and I'm a decent miniature painter. I'm pretty good. It's a little better than game table quality, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But some of the stuff, I see it, and I'm like, my God, I can't invest 100 hours into a figure. I just can't. But it's beautiful stuff.
I've been painting for 20 years and sculpting for 5, and I'm always humbled. I go to the shows and it's like, oh my Lord, you guys are amazing.
Yeah.
Now, luckily, I do get to talk to them. And, whereas yourself and myself, we like to play the games as much as we do painting them, which means we paint a lot more models.
Right.
A lot of those prize winners, a lot of those professionals, they paint like 6 figures a year.
Yes.
And that's a Saturday afternoon for us. So it's a different level. And if you make your stuff look good, it's all relative. Depends on who's looking at it and who you're playing with. And sometimes winning a local award is better than... No, it's not better than winning 10 grand. So
no,
never mind.
No. You can lord that 10 grand over people better than that local trophy you got.
It's like, I won a box set and it's awesome. Well, I won half my yearly paycheck,
Exactly.
No, but we just got done with Adepticon, and we weren't sure if we were going to do this show, and then we started the new Kickstarter for Sedition Wars, Studio McVeigh's horror game, which is nice. I get to work with Mike again. I'm just excited. I used to work with Mike back in Privateer, so getting to work side by side with him again is like a reunion 10 years in the making. I love it. Yeah, I love those guys. So we decided that with Kickstarter going and trying to drum up some business for Sedition Wars, is that we'd go ahead and come on out and set up a little booth, and we've got some new stuff coming out in Gen Con, so get the word out there, and kind of like what you guys are doing for us right now.
Yeah. We'll be at Gen Con too. We'll talk to you and talk about all the new stuff that comes out.
We have an 18 booth facing at Gen Con.
Oh, nice.
We're bringing everyone. If we have something to sell or something to peddle, it's coming with us.
Nice.
And at Gen Con, we've got 3 big releases that we've got coming out. We've got the Zombicide, although in all fairness, if the Zombicide orders, because we want to make sure the Kickstarter, the people who were so awesome to give us the Kickstarter money to begin with, we want to make sure that those guys get their copy first. And if that container...
Very nice.
And if
not everybody does it that way.
That's the way the Kickstarter people should be treated.
Absolutely. Well, and if that container from the shipper has not gotten to us yet, and we haven't gotten it out to the Kickstarter people, we're not bringing it out.
Nice.
We're,
you know, like that.
Everything, it should work out just fine. All the numbers look like they're going to, you know, everybody's dates they've given us sounds great. So unless there's like a hurricane that knocks our boat off course.
Yeah, worst case scenario.
We're good shape. But that's, we're hoping to have Zombicide there for kind of pre-sell for the people. And then that should hit actual distributors in September. We've got the first expansion to my game line, Dark Age, the Dark Age Devastation, which releases two new factions, one of which has never been seen before. It's not an extension of any existing faction.
Okay.
The first time we've introduced true robots to Dark Age. And then the unveiling of our new game is a partnership with Five Houses called Wrath of Kings, which is a very stylized fantasy game. The art, a lot of people will see it very similar to some of the old Rackham drawings, mostly because David Preddy, one of the main guys from Rackham, is the head of Five Houses.
Okay.
So there's a lot of similarities there. And if they were a fan of Confrontation, they're a fan of that style of just gorgeous miniatures, you know, almost art over function in some cases, Wrath of Kings is gonna knock some people's socks off. It's fantastic. You know, the game system's good too. I mean, like, we've done some testing and whatnot, and I'm a fan of where we've got it at the moment, but the models themselves are, and it's why we're selling the Resin Masters. We have pre-sales. The game's not even out yet, and we've got sales for the Resin Masters. They're going to be eventually cast in actual metal, but the models are great enough right now. We had people starting to ask, can I have some of the Union workers, or what everyone calls them, pig soldiers, because they're pigs with broadswords and shields, okay. And you'll get to see them in the case.
I'm going to take some shots.
They're pretty awesome and gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous.
Let's talk a little bit about Zombicide.
Okay.
Because I did post some, I believe a couple of news posts when you had it running on Kickstarter, and there were a few things that really jumped out at me.
Okay.
One of them was for a zombie game, zombie miniatures game, a lot of times you'll see the zombies are all the same, or yeah, okay, two or three different kinds of zombies. One big selling point for Zombicide was you've got a whole mess of different kinds of zombies, which as a gamer, that's a lot of fun, but as a painter, that's even more fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And even, you know, not even just the sculpts, but it's in the game itself. We've got the walking Romero style zombies. We've got the fast running zombies, like from all the Dawn of the Dead remakes.
Like 28 days.
Yeah. You know, we've got that. So we've got those covered. And then there's even some that are almost like hat tips to some video games. You know, if anyone plays Left 4 Dead, you'll recognize the, we call them the fatty. In Left 4 Dead, I think they're called like the bruisers or something. Yeah, you know,
something
just like giant overweight zombies.
Yeah, right. Huge.
It's really easy to draw on the pop culture references because zombies are so popular right now.
Right.
And then obviously you saw with the Kickstarter, every time we hit those stretch goals, which we hit them so often and so fast, basically just reached into pop culture and grabbed something that people thought everybody is drawn from somewhere. You know, obviously we've got the Latino gangbang hero he's effectively Machete. I mean, there's no question there.
Right.
Everybody wants to see Eagle, Chuck Norris. You know, like we just drew these things that everybody you would recognize, and now you've got them in the game if you supported us. We're not saying that they may not eventually show up in some way, shape, or form. That's a decision made way above my pay grade. But for the Kickstarter people, the people that have supported us and supported the effort, they're going to get a chance to field some pretty cool stuff. And, you know, the initial box comes with six dudes, six main survivors.
Right.
How many zombies are in the main box?
71 miniatures, so 65 total zombies, I think. Those numbers are not directly in front of me, but I want to say that was what we did.
I know it's a lot of figures, and that's why I asked, because...
Well, and the people who did, I mean, unfortunately, the Kickstarter is done at this point, but the people who did... We did really well. But the people who did get at that certain level, there's like 110 figs that people are getting if they donated it to the right level. We're hoping to do the same thing with Sedition Wars. Sedition Wars right now is already at 500% funding. Yeah. So it's a done deal. The main box, when people buy it in stores, is going to have 50 models in it. Right now, the people who are at Kickstarter get like 64 models, and we're shooting for hopefully to have 90. The ratio we want is $1 per model. Would be really what we want to come out.
And then honestly, a dollar figure, that's peanuts. It's nothing.
Well, and McVeigh quality sculpts done in styrene plastic. It's going to be amazing. The game is fun anyway.
Let's talk a little bit about the game.
Because I'm not real familiar with it. I took a quick glance. Looks kind of like a sci-fi setting.
Yes. It's a deep space horror setting. If you're fans of like movies like Event Horizon or what did I just recently see? Pandorum.
Okay.
Movies where you've got humans that are in this dark dark space station filled with monsters. And basically what the Sedition Wars world is, humanity has solved all their problems by sending the poor and the destitute as colonists away. You get to go be the workers on other planets.
Sweet. Well, I guess they punched our tickets for that.
So they send them off there and you build your own home. No more debt, anything like that. There's no reason for it. We just go have you build your own house on a completely different world.
And if you don't make it, well, hey, you're out of our hair.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Sure. You know, you work for your survival.
Yes.
Well, and obviously being treated basically like prisoners or indentured service only goes so far before those people revolt. And they actually start a revolution called the Firebrand Revolution. And Earth, the Terrans, decide, well, we need to quell that or our way of life is done.
Sure.
So they send out the Vanguard, which are basically super trained elite paramilitary space soldiers.
Like Elliot, yes.
Oh, exactly. Okay, Elliot would be a Vanguard.
Super trained.
And so they go, and while they're in space, they get this distress call from the Alabaster Research Station that says, you know, come please help us. Very mysterious. And they're like, oh, okay, well, obviously the Firebrand Revolution is taking place here, so let's go snuff out these rebels and get our rightful due. And they get there and all the lights are off and nothing's quite right. And what's going on here? What actually happened is the research center had an alien artifact and they opened it up and it had an alien nanovirus in it and it started killing and eating people all over the station. So the actual initial board game, the Battle for Alabaster, is the Vanguard versus the Strain. The Strain are effectively like cyber zombies. Like nanotech cyber zombies. And one of the best parts of the game is the cyber zombies not only can infect you, they can take over your corpses. So when you lose a model, you actually leave a token on the board and little nano clouds can come over and make new bad guys. But the Strain also evolve. So the nano clouds that are running around the board can eventually surround your Strain models and you replace the old model with a newer, cooler model. And it's a stair step all the way up to the Chthonian, which is basically a dreadnought. If you get a Chthonian on the board, the Vanguard are pretty sad at that point.
Right,
you know,
sure.
Like their characters are like, we might be able to hurt them if we get a lot of good rolls.
Sure. And,
but if they've done that, that means they waited too long. They've stayed back and watched, because obviously it's two player, they get to watch what's going on. So if they've watched these guys evolve from the phase one Revenants all the way up to the Chthonian, they knew what they were doing and they've made their bed. Time for a nap.
Exactly. Dirt nap.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk a little bit about Dark Age.
Okay.
That is something that is out, that is available.
Absolutely.
You mentioned there's an expansion, probably Gen Con coming out.
Absolutely.
But let's talk about Dark Age, because we've got people pumped up about getting some minis from Cool Mini or Not, and we're just talking about stuff that's not available yet.
Dark Age has actually been out in one way, shape, or form for about 9 or 10 years. It's been out in various formats.
Was it Dark Age Heresy or something?
There was several individual books on the way up. In 2009, we created Dark Age Apocalypse, which is the most recent rule set for the game. As most cleaned up as we could, got rid of a lot of the fiddly things that people were complaining about for years.
Sure.
Everyone likes to clean up their system and make it work better.
Right.
Apocalypse is the most cleaned up version we have. That was 3 years ago, and so now, coming in August, is the first expansion since that change called Dark Age Devastation. Not only does this have a couple of rules tweaks that we've added in to make sure, we've noticed a few things as the tournament scene has grown and so forth, we've been like, okay, this needs to get altered and this needs to get altered, and so this is our opportunity.
Sure.
But it also is our opportunity to release two new factions that have not existed before. One is an extension of an existing faction called the Scarred. The extension is called the Cult of Metamorphosis. It's basically
Scientologist. Yeah.
No.
Cruz is not going to listen to you.
Yeah,
right?
Nope, he's done.
That's it.
He's walked away.
He's like, yeah, I loved you guys up until now.
You've lost him as a listener. The Cult of Metamorphosis is all about taking their own body and doing everything they can to make themselves better, more efficient, more deadly. So they have a lot of really hardcore cybernetics and
enhancements.
Yeah. Except since technology on this planet is so bad, they look pretty grisly. The Fallen Angels, I just posted a picture of those on the Facebook. They are basically crazy, drugged out ladies that are covered in hooks and knives. And I mean covered.
Right. I've seen a few of those walking around, actually.
Yeah, we might have a Fallen Angel or two here at Origins.
I went on a drink last night and it went downhill.
It just didn't happen. And then the other faction, which I'm... I don't want to say more excited for, but we actually have seen some of the models come off of the presses for them. Mm-hmm. That's the Core. The Core are self-aware hive mind style robots, and they're robots whose batteries run on biofuel, on organic energy. So they've eliminated all the organic life in their general vicinity where they woke up, where their AI is, and so now they're expanding outward, trying to find more meat to put into the engine, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And there's some pretty grisly models coming out for them. Dark Age's design, our catchphrase for Dark Age is everything dies. They're helping that along. Chainsaws, buzzsaws, hooks and blades, you know.
Dark Age is really kind of a dark science fiction setting.
It is a post-apocalyptic sci-fi setting. One of our artists we hired for this book, he was like, all right, I need a feel for what I'm doing. And I said, Dark Age is a game that requires you to have an NC-17 rating and a tetanus shot, because everything is sharp angles, rust, blood, chains. It is not for the squeamish.
Right.
And it also goes for people playing the game, because do not get attached to a model. A bad die roll or getting outnumbered, your guy's done. A game can change direction extremely rapidly. It's a scenario-based game. You can play normal, just like, you know, let's beat each other up, but it's a lot more fun to play with some narrative scenarios.
Sure.
And one of the things that Devastation is going to have in it is a new way to determine scenarios based on your faction. The main rulebook just has a bunch of generic scenarios, which is fine, and everybody can play the game and have a good time. But sometimes it doesn't make much sense for the cannibal tribes of the Scarred to try and rescue a captive, or for the sentient bioweapons of the Brood to find a spy.
It just falls off a little bit there.
The sense of disbelief is a little thick. So we made scenario lists that were based on each individual faction. Some of them bleed over. I mean, obviously, everyone has the go beat up your neighbor,
right,
as you do. But everybody has a couple of unique faction missions that no one else has that's based on their own narrative. And then any other armies that we're going to be putting out in the future, we're going to go ahead and include scenario lists for them as just as a standard. You know, we do the special rules, weapon abilities, and scenario lists.
You know, I'm Jeff's the miniatures guy.
Okay.
But it does seem like you guys build a lot of backstory and a lot of story into your games, which is really nice, because we have seen a lot of games with, they don't bother. It's just armies.
Figures are pretty nice. Go knock yourself out.
Right. So do you guys really look into putting the effort into providing the narratives to the games as well?
Well, I can speak for myself as the Dark Age project lead. I got my start writing fiction and narrative for Privateer Press. So most of my professional background has been doing nothing but narrative anyway. Just comes natural.
Privateer's real big on the story behind War Machine, the story behind Hordes.
Yes. Yeah. War Machine Prime was my first actual publication 10 years ago, nine long decade ago, showing my age.
Sure. In the before times. When you were 11.
Yeah, that'd be nice. The narrative, I don't want to say comes first, but if you don't have a good story behind with what you're doing, it's very, very easy to lose track of what you're building. It's how models end up looking out of place, or a faction that is designed and someone goes, well, those just don't fit. Well, it's because they were just creating a faction to, you know, put a, you know, this is a neat model stamp. If you can make a narrative, you can make something into a larger scope, you also get more people to, I mean, frankly, from a marketing standpoint, you get more people to buy multiple factions. They know how their factions intertwine. You know, all of the Dark Age factions have background with each other. Sometimes there's characters that hate each other. You know, even within the same army, there might be units that won't work in the same army because they despise one another.
Right.
For no other reason. It's not game balance. We actually just wanted that in there. And it allows people, if they want to build a Forsaken force, they can then build two or three different Forsaken forces that all work together, and they know that they will because they've read the stories that say so.
I pop over the website all the time. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's just even from my own inspiration.
Yeah.
And I can honestly say, as a painter, and I've painted for probably 25 years since I was negative 11, and I love a good website, and Cool Mini or not is a very cool website. It's a good looking website. It's not, oh, my eyes are bleeding.
Yeah.
But we are going to get some shots, because there are some excellent painted figures are already in there to get people juices flowing too.
Our studio painters are some of the best. I mean, I'm not even just saying that to pat ourselves on the back. I mean, like, again, I get blown away by some of the stuff that comes across our desks. One of the Wrath of Kings models, we just got the studio paint back yesterday. I got the first picture in my email, and it actually gave me chills. Not because of, like, you know, ooh, it's a scary model. The color choices, it was not one that I would have expected.
Sure.
And that's the kind of thing that blows me away. It's It's the oh, I expect this to be Flesh and Blood. Okay, he did it in grays and blues, like old Boris Karloff Frankenstein's monster.
Sure.
And that's the style he did. Well, you'll get to see the it's in a blister. We don't actually have one out. It's the Gorizia Abomination. It's basically a giant Frankenstein's monster monkey thing, and he did it in that old Boris Karloff style and knock me for a loop. I opened it up and I was like, yes, that counts. That goes in the book. You know, that's going to happen.
And let's talk a little bit about Wrath of
Okay.
Because that's going to be a new release at Gen Con.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not a Kickstarter project. That's a new release. Yeah.
We were talking about maybe trying to do a Kickstarter to maybe do like a starter box or something for the game, but that's still up in the air. We don't know that for sure. The game itself is a fantasy setting, partnership with us by a company called Five Houses. The game itself, it plays very well at a skirmish level. It can scale upwards. I don't want to say indefinitely because we have not played an apocalypse level Wrath of Kings game by any means.
And there's only so much lead you can push.
Well, resin at this point. Be metal, but right now the ones we have are resin.
Yes.
I'm sorry, white metal. I didn't say lead, did I? I said white metal. That's what I meant.
Yeah, now you are showing your age.
Yeah.
The Wrath of Kings game, I would say probably our sweet spot is going to be between probably 20 to 40 models. That's going to be so like
total?
Yeah, okay. I would say like a mid-scale 40k range. Obviously, no giant swarmy armies. If you want to talk about 40K, but yeah. The game itself is based off of, non sequitur, five noble houses that have inherited various kingdoms from this, like, golden era ancient kingdom that was run by a guy by the name of the Ancient King. Ancient King passes away, and then immediately everybody starts vying for who's going to try and control the new ancient kingdom. So each of these five houses have got their own very drastic different field. There's House Hadros, which is an undersea house, very Kraken and Cthulhu. You know, nice. You've got that's the house that I personally will be playing. I love undersea stuff, period. So the second I heard there were squid warriors with spears that come on land, done.
Right.
Yeah, that's
deep.
I'm sold.
Yeah, right.
The Deep Caller is actually one.
Nice.
Of, yeah, you're
nice.
You're right there. You're right there. House Gorizia, which is where the big monkey Frankenstein. They're
yes.
All a bunch of like Transylvanian style. There's werewolves and vampires.
Okay.
The House Nasir are fire dedicated, almost like samurai style. House Technis, which that's what we've got the most models for right now, they're almost a little steampunk. They've harnessed magic into industry. And then House Shale Han, which are very clerical, very churchy. Their magic comes from within. And it's a really neat system. We're going to be we don't have demos going at this show because our booth is small. At this one, we'll definitely have demos at the booth at Gen Con and then models everywhere.
It's a fantasy setting, but it's not your stereotypical fantasy elves, dwarves, hobbits.
Yeah. And one of the reasons why all of the extra races in the game, like the individual, like, you know, you don't have orcs or elves or anything, but the guys in House Technis, they're pigs. They look like pigs. The guys riding some of the pigs kind of look like gnomes, but they all used to be human, every single one of them. One of the things in the universe is to learn magic, to harness magic. One of the ways to do it is to embody an elemental, like you'd be almost like get possessed by an elemental.
Right.
When that happens, some physical changes take place for you to be able to house that kind of power. And sometimes it's, you know, it turns you into a big-headed gnome guy, and other times it turns you into a weird kangaroo with very sharp teeth, which you'll see over there. The weird kangaroo with very sharp teeth actually used to be human before he got elementaled.
Pretty wild.
Yeah.
One last thing that I do want to point out too about Cool Mini or Not, you also are the distributor for quite a lot of other miniatures also.
Lots of other lines. Lots of other lines and companies that we have partnerships and distribution through. Enigma Miniatures, McVeigh Studios, obviously. Or Studio McVeigh. Sorry, Mike.
Yes.
For a long time, I kept getting it turned around, and he kept correcting me in his perfect British English. I love Mike to death, but it was every time I couldn't help it, I turned it around. We do some distribution for Weird Miniatures, for Malifaux and Puppet Wars. Game Zone, Dark Sword, Legacy Miniatures, who are bringing out Confrontation. They're bringing Confrontation back for the Phoenix Edition. We're starting to put out the Ravage magazine. Issue 2 comes out here in a couple weeks. That's a U.S. version of a French magazine. The French magazine has been running for a very long time, and we just recently picked it up and decided, you know, the English-speaking world would love to see some of these articles that they do.
Sure.
And the idea behind Ravage, or as I like to say, since I have the control of the American version, is Ravage, Ravage magazine. You know, there's the No Quarter, there's White Dwarf, there's these magazines that are very specific to one part of the industry. War Games Illustrated, you know, they're they're great mags. They do what they need to do, but there's so many little companies, things out there that, you know, if you don't play a GW game, not that very many people don't, but if
there are people
out there that don't, they're not going to get to see the how to paint non-metal metallics, how to use washes correctly. They're not going to get those kinds of articles. Even, you know, all merchandising aside, they're never going to pick up a White Dwarf. They don't need to. This is a magazine that any miniature gamer will have some use for, even if it's just
inspiration.
You know, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And we're hoping that, you know, we've gotten several other companies to sign on board to give us articles and ad space and things like that. I'm working on how to paint clear resin to not look like clear resin. Because clear resin models are awesome. We've got a couple for Dark Age, and you can easily just glue them to a base and be done. But there's like two or three real fast steps that you can do to make them pop, right. And that's going to be in our next, not issue two, it's going to be issue three, the Gen Con issue.
There we go.
Yeah.
Very nice. Let's say our listeners are, wow, man, I have got to check out all the cool stuff at Cool Mini or not. We do know it's pretty obvious, but what is the website?
It's at www.coolminiornot.com, and all of the links to everybody else that's partners with us are there.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, thank you, Ryan.
Yes, thank you very much.
Well, thanks, guys, for stopping by.
There you have it. Once again, a big thanks to Brian Steele of Cool Mini or Not for taking time to chat with us at Origins 2012. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us for more Origins coverage, as well as heading over and giving a listen to Elliot and I on our next scheduled episode of The Gaming Gang.